Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Crescendo Before the Final Act. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, Patriots. And tonight is, what is it, Tuesday? Is it? No, it's Monday. My goodness gracious, I can't believe I just did this. It is Tuesday. It's Tuesday, May 14th. I can't believe this. Time is just flying by. It's like every day, you say it in the morning, you forget it by the afternoon. Either that is a sign of getting old, or maybe we are literally in a time warp, which could be. It could be. Taco Tuesday. By the way, I heard from Punky today. They're in their new house. They're doing great. She's excited, loving it. They don't have chickens yet. At least I don't know. She says they have a lot of birds of prey around. So hopefully we'll see her soon. She's doing great. But like we say on Taco Tuesday, you got to bring the hot sauce. We're going to do that tonight. All right. So I don't even know if they say that or not. I just said it. So it's good. All right. Here's the deal. Before we get going tonight, we got to get going good and hard on a lot of stuff because there's a lot of things that are important to talk about. But we also have to talk about our great sponsors. And one of those is one of those companies that happens to have something going on for it that we all need right now, and that is Warrior Essentials. So here's the deal. We've all been through the COVID con. We've heard about the COVID con. We've heard about the vaccines. The more we learn about the vaccines, what happens? We find out how bad it is, and it just keeps getting worse, and it's going to get worse after tonight, too. I assure you, after you hear some of the things I have for you, you're going to be like, what? Seriously? Like, yep, that's coming. So anyway, It's been a whole tyranny of lies, and we know that. And not only the tyranny of lies, it's coercion, force. They use fear, everything they can to motivate us to do the wrong thing to us. And part of this is, even though there's a bunch of people that stood up and said, hey, y'all, we're not taking the vax, a bunch of people did take the vax. Those would be the drones, the NPCs in this game. And that's, for those of you that don't know what an NPC is, it's the non-player character. Well, anyway, these people took the vax, and now they're shedding spike proteins. So we have this problem because there's healthy people that are now being exposed by people that are toxic, and we don't want spike proteins, and neither do they. So this is why it's important to check out Warrior Essentials' new product, which is really awesome. Now, I need to tell you this. It's important. This is not a statement that has been evaluated by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. That would be the same Food and Drug Administration that has brought you vaccines that cause autism. And this is also a product that is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. That has to be said for legal purposes. Nonetheless, this is an awesome product. So here's the deal. You need to get rid of these spike proteins, and you need to get it to where your body does it for you. And that's what the Warrior Essential product does, or the Warrior Essentials product does, right? So it's for the jab or those that have been around the jab, which means about everybody. It removes the toxins, it repairs circulatory health, and it restores your epigenome. All you have to do is go to recoverwithbards.com. Recoverwithbards.com, and you'll get a special offer, which is you're going to be able to save up to 50% off of regular prices plus free shipping, right? And then you help rid your body of the toxic spike proteins, and you boost your health at the same time. It's all good. So just go to recoverwithbards.com, recoverwithbards.com, and get up to 50% off and free shipping. All that link is available below the podcast. You can click on it and you can zip right over there and you'll be super happy you did. All right. That's coolness. Oh, look at that. We've got our notorious, famous, infamous bear, the mod, is in chat tonight, which is also good. And he has the best slogan of the night. Do not shed on me. Absolutely true. If you've been spiked by the death shot, don't shed on me. Don't need it. Don't want it. Nobody cares about it. I'll tell you. All right, so we got a lot of stuff going on, and it is crazy time, okay? And it is crazy time because we're into what I think is literally the preparations for the final act. When I say that, this is these international criminal cabal people who think that they have the world in their palm And they're now gearing up for what appears to be probably one of the greatest attempts to seize the control of humanity, harvest the those that oppose their rule, turn them into all sorts of nice treats for the NPCs to eat, and to turn our organs into other things that they can use, put them into food products, food flavorings, you know, that sort of thing they do. You know, we are going to become food, according to them. That should get you all excited. Not really. But this is where they're going. And it's ramping up very quickly, and they're very serious about it. And there's a lot of things happening. So let's begin with a little perspective on where this trajectory is going by 2023. And I just want you to hear this. I want you to hear this, because this individual is so excited about the coming age of humanoid robots and what they will offer. But ask yourself a question. Where are people going to get their jobs and their money? Take a listen.
I don't think anybody realizes how insane robots are going to be in the next few years. Humanoid robots are going to be the biggest product transformation that we've ever seen in history. Bigger than the car, bigger than the phone. 100 years ago, the car replaced horses, took them off the road. Within only 13 years of the car's invention, we went from 95% of people riding horse and buggy to only 20% of people. So that was a gigantic transformation, and it happened so fast. But this time, we are the horses. Artificial intelligence is increasing rapidly in its capabilities. We all know that. But Tesla is at the top of the food chain right now, right? They're way ahead of the curve. Tesla's full self-driving, which they've been working on for the past 5-6 years, has now implemented AI in its systems. It's end-to-end learning, which means there's no person coding what the car is doing. The car is learning on its own what's happening in its environment through cameras. So Tesla is quite literally in trying to emulate a person's thinking and put it into the car for it to self-drive. A couple years ago, Tesla now has introduced its Tesla Optimus robot, which they're going to take the Tesla self-driving stuff and put it right into the robot. So the robot's going to have cameras and able to learn its surroundings just like a human learns. And now, with all the resources Tesla has, they're teaching their robots how to learn with videos. All they're doing is taking videos of people doing things, and they're giving it to the robot, and the robot learns tasks from those videos, just like a person does. So this has solved the decades-long issue of, like, how the heck do we code all these things for the robots? I mean, that's a lot of coding. But when it comes to Tesla's new system, it's so easy, right? You can literally teach a robot to do anything, and the dexterity of the robot's fingers and hands and limbs is amazing as well. Tesla's Optimus Gen 2 robot has 11 degrees of freedom in their hands. In other words, the types of joints, right, that move around enable them to do certain things with their hands. 11 degrees of freedom is way further ahead than any other competitor, right? But guess what? Elon Musk has now recently said that the new Gen 3 robot coming out later this year is going to have 22 degrees of freedom in their hands. Now these robots are able to do very complicated and delicate tasks with their hands. Things that even humans have a hard time doing with their hands. How many degrees of freedom do human hands have? 27. Right, so it's very close to on par with what a human could do with their hands. And this is just the beginning for Tesla's robots. I mean, in 2022, they just started, you know, building these first prototypes. It's only a couple years later, and we've done so much progress in so little time. But with the rapid growth of this technology, within 5-6 years, these robots are going to be able to do anything a human can do, but perhaps even better, right? They're going to be able to replace all kinds of tasks that we do as humans. So what does this all mean for the economy and our jobs? Well, they're not going to replace our jobs completely within a couple years. But what's going to happen is they're going to slowly implement these robots, and large corporations are going to implement them in their warehouses, in their supply chains, and this is going to actually decrease the cost of goods all around the world, because the labor for robots is so cheap. Think about it. A robot works all day, it never gets tired, it never sweats, it never complains, it never drinks. It just comes down to the initial cost of these robots, which right now is about a couple hundred thousand. But within a few years, that cost could be down to 20,000. Companies are going to be scrambling for this technology. Imagine being able to purchase this humanoid robot that can replace anything a human can do, with only $20,000 initial cost and infinite potential in production. As more and more companies purchase these robots, the cost of labor is going to dramatically decrease to perhaps less than a dollar an hour, perhaps pennies an hour. So in other words, the cost of products around the world are going to decrease dramatically in the future. And eventually, probably by 2030, it'll make sense for the average person to hire a robot to do their cooking for them, their laundry, or all kinds of stuff for them. It's really going to unlock an age of abundance because these robots can do anything we can. And that's really what the economy is. The economy is people, for the longest time, has been people doing work, producing things. But now we have infinite number of robots we can put into the marketplace. So we can make as many of these robots as we want to. In fact, Elon Musk, in his recent tweet, said that it's not far off to think that by 2030 there'll be a billion of these robots. A billion, that's 10% of the population of the Earth by 2030, 2040. And that's not too crazy of a number. I mean, there are 9 billion phones in the world right now. There are billions of refrigerators and microwaves. There's nothing wrong with thinking that there could be a billion robots. And eventually, robots will be able to perform autocatalysis. What's that mean? Well, it means that they'll be able to produce themselves, replicate themselves, so we can automate the entire economy eventually, with robots doing virtually everything. In fact, it's going to be an age of abundance, where any product or service you need can be done like that. A robot can do it for you. AI can do it for you. Of course, we need a smooth transition to this age of abundance. Of course, there are going to be bumps in the roads, of course. And it's going to change the way we think about the economy. But...
yeah, that's all going to work out just great. It's going to work out great. Don't worry about that. And you know, by the way, money, don't worry about that either. It's just going to be awesome. Robots will be doing everything for you. You won't have to think anymore. You won't have to do anything. I'll tell you. These people, these tech people, they literally, and someone asked, is this satire? I wish it was. It is not satire. This is not satire. This guy's for real. This is one of these things that you just literally like look at this and go, what is wrong? Okay, so just quick interjection here because it's important. Mandolin Farms, that is Flemingsburg. We are in phase two of funding. Thank you, Murfett, for putting that up in chat. So here's the deal. We are doing buy a brick. This isn't the woke version of buy a brick and throw it through a window, just so we're clear. Okay, we're not doing that. But you are buying a brick, $250 a brick. And what we're doing with that is asking people to put your name or of someone you want to remember or a scripture. It's 20 characters, each line, 3 lines. By the way, spaces do count as characters. You get these bricks ordered, and then they're going to become the foundation for the new outdoor kitchen, which is a teaching kitchen. And there's going to be some more photos coming up. We just found the design we like. It's all good. And we're going to have it's going to have the whole meat processing, barbecue, coffee. Yeah, we're having a coffee bar and we're having an ice cream bar. So it's all good. And it's all set up to also teach all of this. So it's really fantastic. A great asset, great addition to Mandolin Farms and a great signature for Bard's Nation. We're trying to sell 5,000 bricks. I haven't checked the count lately. We want to get everybody involved. And our first major goal is like 2,500 bricks by July. So let's do it. And that's up on the website. Link is below the podcast. And Murfett is always good, our mod, to put that up in chat. So thank you, Murfett. That's so awesome. All right, so what could possibly go wrong with a billion robots? A billion robots. But see, this is a much bigger strategy than we're looking at. Robots is just part of it. It's part of the great replacement strategy. Hold on a second. It's part of the great replacement strategy. And the great replacement strategy is not just at the border. It began with the vax, but there's so much more to the vax. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. But what I really want you to hear is a piece by Bill Cooper. Now, Bill Cooper is dead. He was killed by the U.S. Marshals for tax evasion or something horribly criminal like that. But listen to this piece. This goes back to about the 90s or even 80s. Take a listen.
Their whole purpose throughout history has been to teach a small number of people how to become adept at controlling everyone else. Their goal is to destroy all existing religions save theirs, all existing governments save theirs, and shackle the mob in a system of eternal oppressive debt chained to a computer for the rest of their life. in a propagandized world to make them believe that they are happy in this system. Now, do you think they're succeeding? Yes. Haven't I described to you just now exactly what is going on in the world today? Yes, they're succeeding. They're succeeding because the American people don't understand their enemy. They don't even know what's happening. There's a method to their madness. There's really not much method to yours, because you're operating from a place of ignorance. And until you change that, you're going to be bumbling around, bumping into each other, saying and doing the wrong things, not understanding the nature of your enemy. And if you don't understand the nature of your enemy and the weapons they use, you cannot fight that enemy. You can't fight the battle. You shouldn't even be on the battlefield. That's why you're losing the war. And don't tell me you're not, because I'm in a place of great knowledge about who's winning and who's losing this war. And I can assure you, you're losing the war. This country was founded by dangerous men.
Amen.
And the moment the people in this country cease to be dangerous men, it's going to be the day we cease to have a country. And I'm going to tell you right now, unless we can be successful in creating a real free press where the American people get different viewpoints other than those expressed in the establishment-controlled media, there's going to be a civil war in this country, and it's going to come soon. The only thing that can stop it is by waking up vast amounts of sleeping people. Sheeple is what they are. They are following the Judas goat right into the shearing pens, and from there they will go to the slaughter, and they will not know that anything is wrong until they smell the blood of the sheeple in front of them.
Amen. Now, this is obviously about 20, 30 years ago, but Bill Cooper was dead on then, and we still have this major concern today because the plan and the objective is still the same, and that doesn't change. The problem we have right now is too many people are just not aware of the bigger problem. And even worse, there is a class of people that openly are obedient to this insanity. And that's a big issue. So take a listen to this piece.
Most liberals are insecure people, and they find meaning in adopting some made-up identity instead of just being themselves. You know, they replace faith in God with faith in the state. And instead of family being their focus, they focus on things like racial and social justice. But ultimately, that leads to a less fulfilling life, and probably why they're so stressed out.
And they can't handle the stress. I mean, even the slightest bit of resistance to anything they want makes them feel unsafe. Most people consider that feeling to be just a little uncomfortable. But they consider feeling uncomfortable with unsafe.
Yeah, they're trying to internalize all of the world's problems and then project it onto everyone here. I don't know what's going on. They've tried to remove truth from comedy, from television, from academia. And ultimately, when you have a movement that's not based in truth, it just ends in disarray. And that's probably what we're seeing.
Okay, so let's start putting a few of the pieces together. We've got a class of people that's obedient to the state, is very uneasy or stressed in their life. They don't have any relationship with God, and they're going to follow whatever the latest trend is in terms of social justice, because everything that they've been conditioned to do is to think through their feelings, not think through their mind. Okay, that's important in the big piece. We also know that there's a mass need to wake people up, and that's still happening, and that challenge is still there. We do know that there's two people that attempted to do this, and they have been, one is in exile and one is rotting away in jail. Take a listen.
Julian Assange and Ed Snowden.
I know them both.
There was attempted murders on both of them.
Yes.
Both are alive. Julian is kind of rotting in a cell right now, I believe. And,
yes.
And Ed is in his own exile in Russia.
Yes.
How do you feel about those two?
Their bravery, principles. Their physical courage, yeah. Those guys, their willingness to suffer for what they believe, and the principles for which they're suffering. You know, the dignity of the individual. We're all created by God. You cannot treat me like a slave. You cannot tell me what to think. You cannot tell me what to say. You cannot lie to my face. Period. Because I have self-respect.
And that there is a field of value. This is right. This is wrong.
That's exactly
what was
right.
What going on was wrong.
Well, and Snowden especially. I mean, Snowden, you know, Assange is Australian. He's lived around the world. He was a journalist. I don't think he had any expectation that he would wind up spending his adult life in prison. I don't think that even crossed his mind. Maybe it did. I haven't asked him. Ed Snowden knew exactly what he was getting into.
Yeah.
And he was middle-class American, high IQ guy, lots of job opportunities here. He could have lived a very comfortable life with his wife and kids. And he intentionally put all of that at risk in order to tell Americans what their government was actually doing. And what's crazy to me is not that the U.S. government is trying to murder him, which of course they are, but that news organizations don't defend him. That's when you realize, quote, news business is totally fraudulent.
100%. And that's how they control the message. And this is how they control the entire shape of humanity. Fear. Fear is built in various layers and forms, and it is one of the most intoxicating and devastating issues that gets into people's minds and their souls. It literally is a virus. There's a good reason fear not is there 365 times in the Bible. Now, just as one of those small indicators that the world is ending, this is those of you that go to Red Lobster, they're closing 100 locations. So no more fake lobster meat for you, and the world is obviously coming to an end. But anyway, yeah, isn't that tragic? Isn't that tragic? I'll tell you right now. Here's just some of the indicators of some of the crazy stuff that is going on, though. The illegal border crossings, the prosecutions at the borders are up 5,000%, and more than half of the immigrants in the U.S. are now unemployed. The replacement strategy is in full swing right now. And just so you know, leftist Washington Post demands that we take cold showers to save the planet. If you're into cold showers, it's because of health, not to save the planet, just so I say it. We are into a crazy time, and everything in this world is geared towards toxic masculinity. It is in towards cut off the balls of boys. It is all towards destroying the men. When we had a nation that was built on dangerous men, they are afraid of the men. And this is in the layers of other attacks, one of which is the vax. And the vax is a very critical piece. We're going to get into this a little bit more in just a second, but I want you to hear this report of what is coming. To take a listen.
Last night I caught a video talking about the Vatican and its new guidelines when it comes to supernatural apparitions.
Did anybody hear what the Vatican is preparing guidelines?
Shout out to that guy, that was super interested. I had to go look it up. Next week on May 17th, the Dicastery for Doctrine and Faith will publish its new norms for the discernment in apparitions and other supernatural phenomena. An apparition refers to the instance where a divine entity such as a saint, the Virgin Mary, or Christ himself makes himself known to the earth. The Catholic Church of the Vatican urges extreme prudence before ascribing phenomena to a supernatural force, warning that being too quick to attribute a divine origin to an explainable occurrence can damage the faith and warp people's beliefs. Now, that guy's hot take on it is that they are preparing for Project Bluebeam. It means that the government's going to put these apparitions in the sky. It's going to be like the second coming of Christ or the second coming of whatever deity that you believe in. And they're going to do this using projectors, and this is going to be used to bring in the New World Order. Project Bluebeam has been around a long, long time. Everybody knows at least the very basis of Project Bluebeam. So I do not think that a Project Bluebeam could be pulled off at this point in time in 2024. It didn't even take that long before people figured out the Aurora Borealis phenomenon that happened all week last week was probably Mother Lovin' HAARP. HAARP was doing his experiments between May 8th to May 10th. The test involved transmitting high-frequency radio waves into the upper atmosphere and ionosphere, which can cause the ionosphere to emit light, creating an artificial glow. And yes, they absolutely can fake the Aurora Borealis if they want to. Why would they do it? Who the fuck knows? Probably to get us to inhale more microplastics so they can control our minds. They admitted that in Congress last week, too. Not the microplastic part. But that stuff can be aerosol. MK Ultra. They had a whole hearing about it last week. That's why they did the Aurora Borealis. Do I have a clip? I do have a clip. Hold on.
Your assessments here are correct. These are very covert weapons, aren't they? That's correct. There's no entry or exit wound. How they're designed is to make the target feel like they're crazy, like they're imagining things.
And you guys also said that these attacks are happening right here in this city. Is that correct?
I mean, there have been some that have gone public with respect to Washington, D.C.
I think it was Mr. Grozev said you spoke to a Russian agent who said that they believe that Americans are using these same weapons on them. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Might that have something to do with part of the CIA's motive to cover up the existence of this tech and these weapons?
That is a very logical possibility.
That was the Department of Homeland Security talking about something called Havana Syndrome. Look that up. But that was being done on May 8th. I think I got off track, though. Anyway, it would be really hard for them to pull off any kind of Project Bluebeam now because people would just pick it apart. Vatican is scared. I think people are going to be privy to more and more information as it comes out, such as free energy and how the pyramids were built, etc., etc. I think there's a lot of information that the Vatican holds on to, like other pages of the Bible and other stories of the Bible that you aren't privy to. People find out that they've been lied to for hundreds and hundreds of years. They're probably going to be pretty pissed off. Think through the Great Awakening process that people are going to find all this out and they're going to be upset. Vatican's doing this to try to cover its ass and control the situation by saying, you know what, you didn't see what you thought you saw. And if you think you thought you saw what you think you thought you saw, then you're probably not as big of a believer as you think you are. I think the veil is thinning. And I think a lot of this is going to be done to make you question what you think you see. Remember, there are monsters that absolutely walk among us, but there are bigger monsters that walk amongst them. Some super dark shit that could potentially start coming to light. But I guess we'll find out next week when they hold their press conference, see what they got to say.
And with joy, we get to hear about the Vatican. All right, but here's the deal. Watch this. All right, so we know that about 30%, as it has now been established in the real science, 30% of people that take the shot suffer from psychosis. And with this, there is another thing that's been going on, which is kind of odd. Take a listen.
Reports, Microsoft and the Coca-Cola company have announced a 5-year strategic partnership to align Coca-Cola's core technology strategy system-wide. So it is said to enable the adoption of leading-edge technology and foster innovation and productivity globally. So as part of the partnership, Coca-Cola has made about $1.1 billion, a commitment to the Microsoft Cloud and its generative AI capabilities. Using Azure Open AI service, Coca-Cola is currently exploring the use of generative AI-powered digital assistants to improve performance, metrics related to customer experiences, streamline operations, and improve efficiency, among other things, that is. So the collaboration underscores Coca-Cola's ongoing technology transformation, underpinned by the Microsoft Cloud as Coca-Cola's globally preferred and strategic cloud and AI platform. Now, did you know they have found nanotechnology in Coca-Cola and in Pepsi products?
Yeah. Did you know that? That you just happened to find nanotechnology in Coca-Cola products? So just tell me exactly why you need AI to fill a can. I'm really serious. Like, have you ever watched the assembly lines on Cokes? It's like cans, squirt juice in, seal it, and there you go. Why do we need AI to create efficiencies? Probably nothing to do with Coke. Probably to do with nanotech that's going in the Coke so that we drink the Coke. So here's the deal. We're getting sprayed. We're getting dosed in our drinks. We're getting dosed in our water. We're getting dosed in our food. The thing is that they're doing this without any restraint. And we keep asking ourselves, well, how can you do this? Are you just doing this as criminals? But they're not. And this is why. You see, when you took the vax, hopefully you didn't take the vax. For those that did take the vax, you signed away all your rights as being human. You're done. It's sealed. You're it. Because you're now a part of a genetically modified dose that you put in your bonafide. Your genetic modification. Gene therapy. That's what you did. And you've now become a GMO. If a person has taken the vax, you now are a GMO. By definition, you can check out the case. 1999, Scalia voted on it and agreed. Anything that was a GMO is now property of the corporation. Corporations now own people and have rights to people because they took the vax. And if you're a corporation that has the vax, that did the vax, all you have to do is come to an agreement, a partner agreement. See, because BlackRock kind of owns everything. So all they have to do is reach across one of their partners like Coca-Cola and go, yeah, go ahead and put that nanotech in there and you can dose it to anybody out there that drinks it because we've got 70% of the population now that has no rights. But remember that thing I said about psychosis. It's really important because Project Bluebeam, the original concept of Project Bluebeam was to put in the sky using holographic technology, a projections of images. You were going to see an alien invasion, and then they were going to try to show you the Messiah and the Antichrist and all this stuff to bring about the single world religion and the new world order. But that's a lot of infrastructure to do. And at this point in time, she's right. The one we were listening to earlier is that people are not going to buy it unless it's in your visual cortex. And how does that happen? Because if you took the vax, it passed the blood-brain barrier, and you now have the nanotech, the self-assembling nanobots, and that graphene oxide, and that hydrogel that's building in the lattice within your body that's causing all those clots, all of that is in people, and it's in their brains, which means it can be actuated from a distance. Is it any coincidence that they've been pulsing microwave across this nation 24 hours a day, mass doses of microwave? See, it's because they did this already. They did it in Iraq 1. It was a subcranial technology they developed out of one of the labs in the Northeast that would allow them to project the voice of Allah into the Iraqis that were in the trenches. You see, when we were getting ready to do Iraq 1, it was, if you remember early on, they were shipping in massive amounts of body bags. They had 40,000 body bags in Saudi Arabia waiting for the Americans to start the war. And that wasn't for the Iraqis. Every drill that they did to cross into Iraq, because it was trench warfare, was leading to a 30% survival rate or less. So they had to come up with something else, and they did. Coming out of one of the labs in the Northeast, categorized under the Reagan Space Defense Program, they came up with a technology that allowed them to project voice directly into the brain. And they could do it by a distance, and they could do it with microwave. And what did they do? They projected the voice of Allah that said, go home. And if you remember, there was a mass exodus of Iraqi soldiers that went back home. That's because we affected that. That was a massive technological psyop that we did. What was left were elements of the Red Guard. The way that they solved it, they just took bulldozers, they bulldozed the trenches, they buried the people alive, and we drove over them, put our Abrams tanks in a flanking movement, and wiped out the Iraqi army. What was left of it was left in Kuwait. We bombed it to death in the highway of death, and we used every single arsenal known to man to use. Anything they could drop on people, they could, even if it wasn't intended for people, and they wiped out the rest of the Iraqi army. That was the war. But the technology was critical because it's a fundamental piece of what's coming, I believe. You see, they can project voice. And they can project visual images. They can do all of this because that's also part of Meta. And they have people have the vax. So why would you be putting nanotech in Coca-Cola and Pepsi products? Why do you want to put nanotech in the mRNA? Why do you want to put it in salad? And why do you want to grow it in vegetables? And why do you want to put it in meat? And why do you want to have it in cattle, beef? And this is what the indications are this. See, when we receive that, our body rejects it. Probably one of the reasons there are so many health problems right now, this respiratory issues, because the body is rejecting it. If you go back and look at what happened when they introduced radio waves, we ended up with the Spanish flu. The flu wasn't a real thing. We created that problem, but the congestion in the lungs was caused by the radio frequencies that people are now being doused with. And so here we are now in this same era, 5G is going. The bodies that are healthy are rejecting this stuff. The microplastics, the nanotech, all this stuff, they're aerial spraying, putting in your water, putting in your drinks, putting in your food. The body is naturally rejecting it. Because if they didn't need to inject you, they never would have gone through the process. They needed to get their foundation technology into the bloodstream and tied into your DNA. They had to do that. That is why the vax was so important to them. That's why it was worth lying to you constantly, because they had to get people to understand that what was coming was the end of the world. So they would take the shot because it's the foundation technology to allow the next phase to come in. Here's the theory. The theory is this, and what I truly believe we're getting prepared for. Project Bluebeam is not an aerial phenomenon. Project Bluebeam is most likely a frequency-based weapon system, and it will literally project images before in people's cerebral cortex because they're frequencing it through the vax-based technologies, which is the nanotech, graphene oxide, and hydrogel, which has been nicely growing inside of them. This is literally like building a lattice within the body, and that's what's happening. And that is confirmed by all of this. This technology is super advanced and is intended to completely override everything that we are as human. Because what's the end goal on all of this? The end goal on all of this is transhumanism. And those that didn't take the vax, well, we're problem children. And here's the other thing. Not only are we problem children, we actually don't believe in them. We believe in God. We really don't care about them at all. We really don't at all. And they hate this because these people are Satanists. They want you to be submissive to them. They want you to be obedient to them. And they can't stand it when you're not. We're in a crisis right now. And it's a big one. And there's another dimension of this that's super important. Here's the first part of that other problem. It's coming across the border.
I held these up before Congress and said, you're witnessing America's new slave trade.
So Jason, these wristbands, you brought them from the border?
Yeah, these are specifically from Roma, Texas, one of the most violent regions along the southwest border. They're crossed via a raft by the Cartel de Gafo, and as soon as they get to the U.S. side, they break that wristband, and these litter the ground by the hundreds of thousands. Then they're turned over to Border Patrol, and they are sent throughout the nation, a virus of human trafficking, because this is debt bondage, meaning that these people are now in our country, but yet indebted to a criminal organization who really should be a terrorist organization in a foreign country. We have never been here before.
What kind of debt do they owe them? Financial debt?
Correct. All because they crossed a river. Mm-hmm. It's a made-up debt. Many of them don't have skill sets. So if you're a woman, you're going to go into commercial sex. If you're a man, you are going to be involved in human smuggling, drug trafficking.
Absolutely evil. A little child.
I have seen that on a 10-day-old child. Wrapped around that little hand 3 and 4 times.
So what exactly is coming across the border? We know that there's fighting age males, and we know that all of this is ramping up towards something. And what is that something? That's the question we have to ask. And it's a question we need to answer as well. See, here's the deal. We are looking at a time right now where as we head and careen into this, they are preparing for a big event. It's evident. If you don't see it, like seriously, probably should go pray and maybe even like smack yourself in the head or something. It's coming. Something big. And it is a big event. All of these pieces, they're rushing. They're off timing. We know that. Their timeline keeps changing. It was originally Agenda 2021. And then it became Agenda 2030. And then now they're doing 2025. And now they're doing 2024. And now they're doing 2027. They just keep moving the ball on this because they are off-timed. Everything is not lining up. And they're panicked because something is coming. One of the big things is coming is a massive awakening of people. It's a very simple issue. Simple fact is there's about 7 billion people that once they realize what's going on are going to find every one of these people and turn them into pig food. Because all of them deserve it. Millstones will be the afterthought. We are dealing with people that are of a level of evil we cannot even comprehend. And the willingness of them to participate and be willfully involved in killing off humanity, children, elderly, is unconscionable. It's no longer human. And I'm not suggesting aliens. I'm just telling you, you no longer have a soul. You cannot be human when you start talking about the destruction of children the way they are. And then the willful alluring of people through deception and lies to literally lead them into the place of convincing them to participate in this. So something big is coming, and the borders are key indicators. So really when you start to lay all this down, you start to see that, okay, here's the potential. We've got a ton of vax people. Some say as high as 70%. And then there you have the loyalists, which are usually like the liberals that are making sure and telling you like, I'm on my eighth shot. I'm happy. Here I am. I'm going down for another booster, and I got to get my flu shot too. And I'm going to get the flu shot. And I'm going to get everything. I got to get caught up. And there's a disease X coming. I'm ready for that too. This is the liberal class because they're obedient to the state and they no longer have any relationship with an understanding of who they are. They have become the useful idiots in this process to raise them up. And that's number game, numbers game, numbers game. Well, here's a piece by Greg Reese, and it's important to hear this because what he's tagged onto, I believe, is really substantial. What he's suggesting is that the people coming across the border are not just fighting-age males. They're UN troops. Take a listen to this.
The southern border of the United States is wide open, and the federal government has been conducting a wide-scale criminal operation of flooding the country with unvetted foreigners, distributing them across the United States, and providing them with homes and financial support. The GOP's talking point has been that this is all about election fraud, but this has been happening all across the Western world for over a decade. This is something far more sinister than election fraud. The population division of the United Nations concerns themselves with international migration. In the year 2000, they published Replacement Migration, a solution put forth to deal with declining and aging populations. For years, we were told that this was a conspiracy theory. But now that we are seeing tens of millions murdered by the experimental shots, it is becoming more clear what the objective is. We are told that these are poor families fleeing tyranny. But there are massive amounts of healthy young men without any families. And time again, we have seen them act violently against the native population with very little repercussions from the law. As we are expecting the announcement of Disease X and another lockdown, a recent report from UK's Jim Ferguson provides a plausible explanation of what we are seeing.
This isn't normal. There's something not right. This isn't just refugees coming in. These aren't people fleeing from some kind of war zone. These are predominantly men aged between 25 and 35, young fighting age men, as my old boss Nigel Farage once referred to them, and I think he's right. John, what do you think's going on here, mate?
So I can tell you these are UN soldiers and they will be deployed by the WHO when they announce the next pandemic lockdown. That's what's going to happen. They've been trained by British soldiers. They've been trained by the Black Watch Regiment. They were training them in Antalya in Turkey and in the east of Ukraine. They're predominantly down to sergeant ranks. They're then shipped to France. They all sign the Official Secrets Act. Then they're ferried over. If you were fleeing war and tyranny, I don't know about you, but I would certainly take my wife and children with me. They're most precious, they're my prized asset. You know, they're everything to me. If you're going to war, you go to war with the lads. They're going to be deployed. They will be deployed.
John, I mean, you say you've spoken to people in the Black Watch. I mean, the Black Watch, a very famous, you know, regiment. Yes. Are they actually going along with this?
They've got no choice. Well, I kind of said, you know, why are you doing it? And he said, soldiers follow orders. What you're going to see is the following. We'll have a minister somewhere in cabinets suddenly come up with a great idea on how we're going to get these guys to contribute to help us. And they're going to put them in uniforms. So a couple of people have told me these uniforms are burgundy. Others have told me they're UN blue. I really don't know. I guess we'll see when they deploy them. They are going to be deployed. Because otherwise, if they announced another lockdown, what would everyone say? They'd say bollocks. And they'd go about their business, wouldn't they? They're going to need armed young men in uniform to try and enforce it. Why do they import young men from the East? Because traditionally, if you want to kill and tyrannize white people, you put black soldiers in, because there's a cultural disassociation, and that's their method. That's the way these globalists are going to do it.
You know, in America, when it was a colony of the United Kingdom, of Britain, there was a revolution against British colonial rule.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of people didn't realize, but it was only 3% of those people in America that overthrew the British forces and basically got rid of them. 3% of the population, John.
I look forward to it. I'm ready. I can't wait, because I know it's going to be the beginning of the end for them. I do foresee victory. I see that at very great cost. But we will see it. And people, I think the world will become closer than ever when we do see victory. It's going to come on the back of a load of bloodshed. And unfortunately, it has to. Once people of all colours come together and recognise their common enemy, we'll walk over these people in 10 minutes.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, be the 3%, don't be the fools. Bottom line, this is building, and you can see the momentum building. And this is one of those times that you literally, as you look at the big picture, it's easy to take a gasp and go, fear. You can't have fear. Right now, we are sitting, walking in the power of God. We have the authority of kingdom. And this is a beginning of where you have to start building the foundation for victory. How do you do that? We pray into it. We pray against the strongholds. We pray for victory. We pray into what we want and what we're asking God for. This is very serious. This is not said lightly. We are in a state of war. And this nation is being dismantled from within by traitors and Satanists that literally want to do everything they can to tear us apart. But there's hope. And you can start to see how boldly God moves and is moving with this testimony coming up. I want you to hear this. This testimony is profound. It's a testimony from a former witch.
I just lift my hands in the air and I say, okay, Jesus, I know that you are God. I was chained down in rocky caves and caverns. I only saw myself. I couldn't really move. I could only move my head. And I was on this cycle of torment, perfectly catered to my life and my decisions and my fears. And I was outside of time. And as I'm on this cycle of torment, I begin to understand that I'm in hell. As I'm feeling this cycle, suddenly God begins speaking to me in the spirit, word for word. And he said, the only good left in the world is because of my presence. This is a place without. And I began to understand that God was really our only protection, and that I was in a place at the will of darkness. And I began to understand that I had lived my life in direct rebellion of God, in denial of God, my creator. And I knew I belonged there. There was no trying to get out. There was no justification. It was, I knew that I belonged here. God began speaking to me more. And he said, you opened your heart and mind to the demonic through the occult. This is why you've suffered so much. The last thing he said, this was the master you had chosen. And as he said that, I began to look up into this cave up above, and a shadow appeared, and it was a large horned creature. I knew it was Satan, and I'm looking at the shadow, and suddenly it begins to grow rapidly, like as if it's going to come towards me. And I felt this fear that's really unexplainable. But as the shadow is growing, before it could reveal, you know, I was suddenly plucked up out of there. And when I was plucked out of there, I was brought up you know, as before, when I had gone down, I felt my spirit go up. And as I went up, I suddenly was before this blinding white light. And I knew I was before Jesus. Again, I was being poured over with like oil, with love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And there were a few moments in my life, some I shared earlier, that Jesus really highlighted of when this demonic intelligence had been placed in my life. And then Jesus just said, I was always with you. I never left. And as soon as he said that, whew, I'm back in my, you know, back in the shower. And I was repeating, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And I don't know how long I was saying that for. And I don't really know where that came from, but that's what I was saying, you know, after this encounter. And I'm saying, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. When I stop and just look around me, I mean, it was like this bomb went off in my life. You know, I was wrong. And, you know, there was this moment when I felt the anger of the demonic around me. And so I immediately just started getting into prayer and repentance. And I was in prayer and repentance with God for 3 weeks straight after this. I mean, that sounds crazy, but it was 3 weeks where I was just in prayer and repentance. After that 3 weeks, God spoke to me one more time. And he just said, you only need one book. This huge collection of every other book you can imagine. And he just said, you only need one book. And so after he said that, I got in my car. And like a few months before, someone had randomly told me about this church. And I had that church in my mind. And I said, well, I'm going there. I went to this church, and there were two people in the church office. There was an elderly woman at the office desk. And I just went in and just started to tell her what happened and was asking for a Bible. And then as I'm talking to her, an elder pastor comes from the back and overhears what's happening. And they just pray with me. And this pastor, he takes my number, and we meet up that week. And it's funny because not only he was a grief pastor, which I had been going through so much grief, and how funny it was that he comes out and that's what he works with. We talked for hours, just about everything. Yes, we got to this point where he said, do you want to give your life to the Lord? I said, absolutely. And we just laid it all out on the table, renouncing all these things in my life. It probably was the sinner's prayer. I'm not sure exactly what prayer it was, but and just praying and giving my life to the Lord. We did this prayer and we said, amen. And it's as if physical weights came off my shoulders. Like I was laughing. I was like this joy that I had never felt before, this pure joy. I remember just leaving and, you know, the sun's out and the birds are chirping and just feeling this peace, this release, this lightness that I had never felt before.
So much craziness in the world. And too many people get wrapped up in the craziness and forget the mightiness of our God. This woman was walking the darkest of paths. She was a witch, saved on the brink by Jesus, an overcomer. This is where we have to all stand. And all of this stuff going on right now, prayer is the most important thing. She prayed and went in repentance for 3 weeks. Here's the one thing I will say about the occult. And when she's saying that, I'm listening to this and going, oh, that would have been native to her. They worship better than people in God. Hate to tell you. As a general whole, the occult worships more diligently than those who follow Jesus. It's time to get the game on. You need one book. You don't need 50,000 rounds of ammo. You need one book. You need to be ready. You need to be in the Word. You have to be ready that when all this stuff begins, you have to be able to discern what's happening before you. That's in the Word. You have to know Jesus. You have to have a personal relationship with God. You have to be speaking to Him and letting Him speak to you. You have to get discipline in your faith. This is a war. It is a real war. It may not look like yet people in uniform, but it's coming. And the war that we're facing is in the spirit, and it's vicious, and it's going after everybody. This is where we see all this explosion of everything happening. And they are in a fast pace because they know something greater is coming. One book. That's it. It's the Bible. Arm up. Get ready. We're taking this down. There is no fear here. This is the greatest war of all time. And everybody that's here has been chosen to be here. Arm up. All that we're looking at right now are all the attempts to try to destroy humanity. And if it was so easy, they would just do it. But it's not. It's taken them centuries. It's taken them all these technologies. It's taken them persuasion, deception, lies, coercion. And still, they haven't accomplished it. They've poisoned the food. They've poisoned the water. They poisoned the vaccines. And still, they haven't accomplished it. Now they're threatening Operation Bluebeam or something like it. And frequency wars and new fighters coming across the border and UN troops on the ground. And still, they haven't won. Because they never will win. They'll never defeat God. They'll never defeat the children of the Most High. They will never win. Those that are not walking with Jesus, those that are not walking in the fold of God, it's going to suck. But we're there. We're there. We're the front line. You're on the point. You're in the greatest rescue mission ever deployed to save humanity. It's something to be proud of, something to be energized by, something to completely stand up and say, I'm here, send me. All of this we go over. And you have to get to hard truths. You have to know what the enemy's doing. You have to be able to look at the big picture. And you have to be able to step back and say, fearlessly, I'm with God. And knowing that in confidence and in security and in the rock of faith that you put your feet on and the love of Jesus that fills your heart with the Holy Spirit to surround you and fills you and with the power of Almighty God, our Father, know that there's nothing that can be done against you. They will succeed. That's what you have to know. And we're part of that. We're part of a great moment in time. You've been given life eternal. It doesn't get much better than that. But it's going to hurt a little bit. It might hurt a little lot. You know, kind of like walking up and taking the hammer and driving on your thumb. It's not something you look forward to, but you deal with it and you get over it and you keep going. However that is, stay focused, be vigilant, get in the Word, deeper in the Word. And be ready, because this war is brewing, and they are in their last play. The final act is upon us, because they know if they don't get this now, they will never get it again. And that's going to be the greatest taste of victory we ever have, is when we watch all their plans that are laid crumble before the feet of God and His children, the children of the Most High. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you tonight just very blessed, energized, excited. We've been put here in this time, in this place, for such a time as this. It's incredible. We are literally here in the greatest rescue mission ever deployed for humanity against one of the most entrenched, most diversified, most asymmetric enemies we've ever seen against humanity. And yet we know that these fools can't win. So, Father, as we pray here tonight, this is not a prayer of arrogance or overconfidence. This is the prayer of true faith in you. We know that you win. And we're with you, Father. Our eyes up, our hands up. We're sitting here in prayer saying, Father, send us, send me. Because this is the time we commit deeper than ever before. I submit, as we speak those words, I submit to you, Father, fully and completely, as that wherever you want me to walk, be, and do. And by your will, we will maneuver in this war in such a magnificent way that the enemy will never have a chance to know where it's coming or how to respond. Father God, we are now in this war more than ever before. Our eyes are open. The scales have fallen. We're breathing in Holy Spirit, and we're speaking words as we need to speak words. And so we pray for the blessings of tongues. We pray for the blessings of the wisdom that comes only from you. And we've been told to ask for wisdom. So, Father, tonight we ask for wisdom of Holy Spirit to flow through us, to have that wisdom and fire that sits within us, to light us up and literally give us the discernment and wisdom as we move forward each and every step. To stay our hand when we start to get edgy or even a little bit fearful, to take a breath in and to expel the fear and to stand in confidence and calm, to know who we are, children of the Most High, to know that the world has been groaning for the awakening of the children of the Most High, the sons of God, and we're here. And so, Father, we're on that line. We're ready. We're prepared. Our hearts have been purified. Put us through the fire. Anything that's not of us, burn it away. As this dross is burned from the silver, refine us in each and every breath and get us ready, because our armor's on. Our enemy is looking us in the face, and we know their end. As David picked up the stone and threw it through Goliath's head, we shall do the same. Whether it's by physical or by spiritual, the war that we stand now to fight for you is the war that we shall win. And it begins within us as we work outside of us. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Patriots. Awesome time to be alive. That's all I know. Great time to look around and see the world. See it through a clear lens. Don't be overtaken by the world. We are not of this world. And that's the thing to hold on to. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I want to feel something. I just want to breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I want to feel something. Let me get back in my body. Time.
feel.